Hey, Justin here. You are now listening to part two of a split episode. If you haven't checked out part one yet, please go do so before entering into this episode. And if you already have, thanks for listening and enjoy the rest of the show.
So, before we get to the moral of the story, and plus, I think this would kind of fall into entertainment value, is we're going to kind of skim over characters from the movie, tell what we thought of them. We've already talked a little bit briefly about Ray, Poe, and Finn. So I think the best character to bring up now is Lando's role in this. What did you think of Lando Calrissian's role?
He was definitely an underused. I mean, he was not even a significant side character. I loved the introduction of him. The first time we saw him was great, and I thought it was like, oh, it just felt like Lando, and like, oh, here he is, and the way he was talking and interacting, and it was great. And then the rest of the movie, I feel like every time he was on the screen, he was just kind of like an old man, just kind of like having a good old time, like, revisiting the old days. There wasn't really a lot of, I didn't get a lot of, feels for that. It was like, oh, there's Lando, laughing, flying the Millennium Falcon, until that ending scene, which it seems like is trying to set the table for some kind of storyline between him and Janna, which was very, very brief. So I felt like his return was just very light and minimal, but it was fine.
I kind of would have to agree with you on that. I did like the intro as you did. Then the rest of it was kind of like, well, what else do we do with them? And whenever he was on screen, it was kind of more of a message of saying, hey, I'm still here. And sad that everyone else is gone, but hey, I'm still got
Right.
it.
It was it was a very much of a cameo kind of a feel most of the time. It didn't feel like he was part of the story too much.
Though I did kind of, there was like one short little scene like where he's like looking around in the cockpit of a Falcon or the door of. I know I did kind of wish that they kind of had a little bit more of a moment with him in the ship instead of just shoehorning it into the heroic before battle speech, but oh.
It was fine.
So, all right, what did you think of Rose Tico's role in this? Personally, I thought it was, I do agree with a lot of people on this on the internet that it was a bit underused, actually very underused. But I don't think there's anything too positive or too negative to say about it. She was just there. I don't even feel like it was like a cameo role. It felt like an extras role that she was gonna put in.
I feel like they did nothing to kind of, that was one particular character and storyline that they just, I feel like they were like, they just hacked it off. Like Last Jedi ended with there's this supposed was there like the whole like a major storyline of The Last Jedi was the Rey Rose of the Finn and Rose storyline. And then I feel like in Rise of Skywalker, they just like cut it off. It just they ended that storyline and just in a very awkward way kept her in the story. And I feel like it was almost like I felt like they should have either just not had her in the movie at all or do something more than what they did. It felt very like, well, we can't completely cut her out, but we know that she's not super popular as a character. So we have to give her something, but we're not going to give her too much. And that's how it came across. It came across as like, if I was, the actress, I would be like, I would feel like I was, kind of like, well, we got to put you in the movie, but we really can't give you much. And like that, I felt bad for her personally. And I just didn't think that the character did anything. I had nothing, no feeling for the character at all in this movie.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like for at first, like going into this movie, I thought maybe they might kill her off and then like kind of have her have a like impact on the fandom in a certain way, but not even that.
It was pretty weak.
I mean, don't get me wrong, people. I don't hate Rose. I actually thought that she did a pretty good job at like acting in The Last Jedi and in The Rise of Skywalker, though we don't really get to see her that much in this. But
From a character and storytelling perspective, they mishandled that character in this movie, in my opinion. They did a poor job of keeping that character in the storyline. And it was just felt very after, like an afterthought. Like, you know, I'll make sure we get that scene with Rose in so that we can have it. A scene with Rose in it so that we don't completely write her out of the story. But you could have thrown those scenes all out and it would have been fine. So, and that's not a criticism of the actress. Yeah, I agree. It's just, it's like, I felt bad for her as a person. I would have been like, that was kind of rude.
Let's talk about the new characters that they introduced. Zuri Bliss.
Zuri Bliss. Interesting character.
I do wish that she would have had more to do as well. And I felt like it would have been cool if she did kind of become a part of the group, just as Rose Tico did in The Last Jedi. But I feel like for like every scene that she was in, she was really good. But again, I feel like this movie was more focused on Kylo Ren and Rey, and like even Poe and Finn kind of had like I feel like lost potential, and I do feel that Zuri Bliss had that as well. They're good characters, but they don't really have a lot to do.
Zuri Bliss for me. Was, I mean, obviously a character that we've never seen before. She pops into this movie and we're given a, like, you know, 30-second explanation of her connection to Poe, who for the first time we find out was kind of like, a Han Solo type character before he joined the Resistance. But we never heard that before and never saw that before. And it was just talked about. And then, you know, and so I feel like the character herself was interesting to look at, you know, interesting, you know, mask and like visually interesting, and and the dynamic, like the moment, the times that she was in the movie were like, you know, entertaining interplay between the characters, but not a whole lot of like, you know, it was just like, well, she was there and then she was gone and then she shows up at the end. Oh, I'm with you guys. You know, and it was, you know, I mean, it was great. I mean, to me, my favorite thing about Zuri Bliss is that she introduced us to, what's his name?
Babu Frick.
That's my favorite thing about Zora, is that she was friends with Babu Frick, and we got to meet Babu Frick. But yeah, I mean, I think it's fine. And I thought that, you know, it was funny, like the little jokes about Poe wanting to kiss her and how she kept turning him down was humorous. But.
And then that does, like, lead right into our next character, which is Babu Frick, which he doesn't... Like, he is important to the story, but dude, if he didn't exist, then I don't think it would hurt the movie in any way. But by golly, was he fun!
Everything about that character was just perfect, in my opinion. Like, he was a perfect example of like, that's a, like, you know, there's nothing deep or, you know, something big. You know, he was just visually just, I don't know, cute, funny to look at. Like, what is that? Like a little, it's like the size of a small baby with like a weird old animal face. And, and like, just the way he talked was hilarious. And you know, it was just, it was unique, and it was, that was probably the most well done side character in the movie. You know, I enjoyed that immensely. It was very perfect, like comic relief, kind of like, you know, I think it was right up there with like Baby Yoda, just like in terms of like the cuteness factor and just the way he talked. It was great. I love that little.
Dude, I still can't believe, like, he has, like, almost out of all the characters, I think he has like the smallest amount of lines that are in English.
Right.
Still,
I like that. I thought that was great.
But Alrighty, that leads us into another, our last new character. I think we can cover the other one that just popped up in my head, but what did you think of Jana?
Jana? I liked her. I think I liked her more than Zori. Mm. I think she was better I feel like she fit into the story more, like the whole idea that she was defecting stormtrooper like Finn was, and
mm-hmm.
that there was this common bond between her and Finn. I thought that was more effective than Poe and Zori's connection. I liked that she got right into the battle with them and was pretty coherently a part of the movie from the moment that she was in it, that she was introduced.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the performance was good. I like that it gave us, I don't really care too much if they would continue Zori Bliss and Poe in a storyline. That doesn't grab me as much mm-hmm. as the idea of like the idea of a Finn Lando Janna storyline of some kind like that.
Mm-hmm.
Very intriguing to me. Like, I feel like that has potential. So I really enjoyed her character. As far as side characters go, I think that was the strongest one for me.
Okay. I do like the character, though I do feel like she was introduced like a little bit late into the story, though.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like what you said, I think she does have a lot of potential, and I don't know if that makes me frustrated that they're not continuing the story, or that I thought, again, she was a good character that Finn could work off of. Mm-hmm. And
I think that overall, as we're talking about this, I do feel like there was, I don't know that we needed, we got Zori, Jana, Babu Frick, and he wasn't really a strong mm-hmm. character presence. Dio, which I'm guessing we would talk about next. I don't know that we needed a new droid.
I agree.
Did we need a new droid? Did we need these new characters to be introduced in the last chapter of the Skywalker saga? I mean, like, if you look at it in the largest context, introducing three or four new characters at the end of a 9-movie saga
mm-hmm.
seemed a little unnecessary, but I'm sure they have a plan for that, but... Yeah,
that was going to be like one of my characters I was going to touch on next was Dio.
Yeah.
Which I thought was, didn't really need to be there.
No.
I mean, he got chuckles out of me, but overall still it was like not really a character that I would put on my top favorites I wouldn't say like intentionally on a top 10 worst, maybe by default for just being there. But other than that, I don't know. I definitely saw the price tag on him as he was rolling around.
I feel like he was just in the movie so that J.J. Abrams could do his voice or something.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
And to me, like, I'm like, really? You introduced Dio and kind of left R2 out of the story?
Yeah.
What?
That was...
Like, first of all, we already got BB-8, and I'm fine with BB-8, and we could have got more of BB-8.
Mm-hmm.
Dio was just... I just felt like it was, like, I don't know why. From the perspective of, like, visually and, like
mm-hmm.
Dio was entertaining to
right.
me, like, just on its face, but totally irrelevant to the story. I don't mm-hmm. know. It just was just this sidekick droid... and it was like, I'd rather in the last of the Skywalker saga movies get a little more R2 and no new droids, but
mm-hmm.
I'm not there to make the movie.
Yeah, plus, like, they did make him relative in a way. Okay, let me rephrase that. I'm kind of frustrated that they didn't make him relevant at the last minute. Him being OG's... a droid and him having information on Exegol kind of felt a little bit forced to me, but oh well.
Yeah, he was just a little.
The last character I wanted to touch on was General General Pry, I think.
Oh, Pride?
Yeah.
The guy up in the First Order?
Yes.
Yeah. Huh.
I felt like he kind of got slapped with the title of being a main protagonist at the very last minute.
Yeah.
Like, after Kyle or Ren's redemption, I was like, okay, who do we make the bad guy now? Well, Emperor's kind of hooked up, so he's not going to be going anywhere. So, I guess, and plus, they killed Hux, which I did kind of like that reveal that he was the spy to the First Order, because as far as the sequel trilogy goes, I didn't really too much care for Hux, like, at all.
Yeah.
But I did kind of... It was a huge surprise for me anyway. But at the same time, I was like, okay, it's not too far-fetched for what his character would do.
Being a spy or a traitor, you mean?
Right.
Right.
I mean, I don't think he would intentionally betray the First Order. He just wants Kylo gone.
Right.
He does not like Kylo Ren, and maybe he's just doing it so he could turn around and then hope he gets to the position of power, and then he runs the First Order. I don't know. But
it didn't seem to be his motivation. I didn't get the sense that he was doing what he was doing as like a power move for himself, mm-hmm. as much as it was to see Kylo go down.
Mm-hmm.
My overall problem with Hux was that, first of all, I mean, Domhnall Gleeson is a very, very talented actor,
mm-hmm.
and I feel like in the first movie he was supposed to be a very, like, very bad, very menacing, very evil character, and then they turned him into kind of a goofball. Like, he mm-hmm. kind of became like a joke. Like, and I never took the character seriously after that. Like, even like all the way back to Last Jedi, the whole, you know, all right, I'll hold, like how he was part of that joke, and then like mm-hmm. you know, how he was just kind of like, you know, and then Snoke was just like, you know, slamming him down to the ground, and then like his character just never really, I feel like it was just, I didn't really understand what they were trying to do with that character. Pride, on the other hand, was very interesting to me. I mean, I feel like there was some shades of Grand Moff Tarkin there, just like with mm-hmm. the way he would just look really serious and mean and nasty and have a really short fuse, and like
mm-hmm.
like this guy is a killer, like he doesn't care about anyone, like he's just ruthless, and he could bring that to a scene without even saying anything,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the way he kills off Hux so abruptly, and the way he talks to the Emperor, you know, very like, you know,
mm-hmm.
but again, so little screen time, no backstory. He just, oh, I'm almost like he was like, we're just supposed to just understand that he was kind of like the Emperor's inside guy from the old days, who was like lurking around in the First Order.
Mm-hmm.
But when he was on the screen, he was, he looked like old school Empire, you know, old school Emperor, you know, it was fine, but.
Yeah, and like just a little nod, I thought I did like how like he always kind of had like, whenever there was a problem, he always had like one solution, like a couple solutions up ahead.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we've really seen that too much in a villain as far as the sequel trilogy to Star Wars.
Yeah,
usually they just go like right off the gate with the plan one, and then after it fails, they go like, okay, now what? We never had somebody that was so well calculated.
Well, he was like, also like, last... clearly he had been, he was of all the people who were in the First Order that we saw, he
mm-hmm.
he was clearly like had inside, you know, he knew what the Emperor was up to, and he was
mm-hmm.
you know, a little bit more informed. Yeah, a lot of side characters. This conversation is making me realize we got a lot of new side characters all at once, and it isn't my favorite thing about the movie, I have to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's been kind of brought to my attention too. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Now it kind of made me like think of like past Star Wars movies as far as like third chapters in their trilogies, and they very much have few new characters brought in. Grievous from the prequels. Probably had maybe as much screen time, or actually slightly a little bit more screen time than some of the characters in here. Yeah, I felt like it didn't really hurt the story, though.
And Grievous's character.
Yeah.
Right.
Then Akbar in Return of the Jedi, or Jabba, they had little screen time, but they really didn't feel wasted.
No, not at all.
So, the last thing that we're going to be talking about is moral, if there is one, which perseverance, I guess.
I think that the question that I think comes to my mind when it comes to like what is the moral of the story, or what is the life lesson, or what is the revolves to me mostly around Rey. Like, you know, first we get Rey in Force Awakens, we don't know who she is, and we're intentionally left completely in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
But we feel sympathy for her as a person who was abandoned and so forth. And then you have her, you know, experience in Last Jedi of you're nobody, your parents were, you know, filthy drunks, and you know, and which I personally really liked that as a story arc. It was a effective break from the idea that, you know, if you're not a Skywalker, if you ain't a Skywalker, you ain't much, right? It's like, you know, it's like, and I liked that. I liked where that was going. I liked the potential of that storyline. And I think that the things that I've heard discussed thoughtfully around a moral of the story revolve around Rey. Like, so Rey, first she's nobody, and that can be a very powerful moral to the story. But then she's the granddaughter of Palpatine, which is like, you know, the offspring of Satan.
Mm-hmm.
And then she has to choose to not be evil. And she chooses to be a Skywalker, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I heard a lot of people talk about that. Like, what would have been more effective as a moral to the story? Would it have been she overcomes her feelings that she's nobody? Or was it more effective to make her choose between being a Palpatine and a Skywalker, right? Like, and that's the point of the last scene, I guess. It's like she has to choose, and she says, well, I'm not just Rey. I guess I'm Rey Skywalker.
Mm-hmm.
Which, when I was watching the movie, I think I liked that scene. I thought it was poignant, and it was a fitting end to the Skywalker saga for her to say, hey, you know, but I think the moral of the story got a little muddied because of that change in storyline. You know, there's nothing really that I'm aware of that indicated prior to Rise of Skywalker that she was a Palpatine.
Not really. I mean, there were like minor fan theories on like the way she fought, but that's like, even that was kind of like, oh,
is there a stretch?
Yeah, that's kind of a bit of a stretch. But plus, like, before, the part where I said perseverance before, I thought that was, like, more towards Finn and Poe. But, again, perseverance is definitely something that Star Wars has done before.
Mm-hmm.
But, plus redemption, that's been on Kylo's end.
Yep.
That has been done before.
Mm-hmm.
But I did kind of like the new spin that they did to it. If you remember in The Force Awakens, Han asks Leia, if Luke can't reach him, how can I? And then she's like, Luke's a Jedi. You're his father.
Mm-hmm.
And then seeing that it's ultimately his father that brings him back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, basically the big nail in the coffin to bring him back was very, very huge to me anyway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It felt like it made Han's Solo sacrifice not in vain in Force Awakens.
Mm-hmm.
And I really liked how they played with that.
I did too. And it's funny that we've gotten this far in the conversation and not talked about the scene between Han and Kylo. because when that happened in the movie the first time I saw it, like, it was powerful.
Mm-hmm.
I did not expect to see Harrison Ford back. I did not expect to see Han come back. And that moment and the way they handled that moment, I thought Harrison Ford was amazing in that scene. I thought he played mm-hmm. Han in a way that was just perfect. And it gave him a powerful finish to his storyline, even though it wasn't technically him, I guess. But the way that they used the same lines and they had that double meaning, just like they did in Force Awakens, you know, like, I know what I need to do. Mm-hmm. And when you watch that, you're not sure if he means, I know what I need to do as in break away from Snoke, or I know what I need to do as in terms of killing my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the same scene in Fort Rise of Skywalker, you have the same lines and it's all the same double meaning, but then this time he means, I know I need to, you know, shake off the influence of Snoke and Palpatine. And that was a powerful, I think, you know, moment. But like you said, I mean, it's not a new theme, you know, the redemption
mm-hmm.
theme in Star Wars is strong and has been there before. I thought it worked.
Mm-hmm.
And I very much enjoyed that turn for his character. And I liked when he came back into the story at the end, like, and you know, made things right, and sacrificed was good. It was mm-hmm. it was a good, powerful thing. I do still feel like we never really got to know Kylo, though.
Yeah.
Like mm-hmm. Ben, Kylo, back to Ben. I feel like we just got, I'm mean, nasty Kylo, and then I'm Ben for a little while, and then I die. And I guess the comic is supposed to flesh some of that out. We got a little bit of it in Last Jedi, but
mm-hmm.
That's always been a problem that I've had. Is that. But I feel like the Rey thing was the crux of the moral of the story, right? It's like, here's this person who, whether you follow the I'm Nobody storyline or the Palpatine thing, you know,
mm-hmm.
she has to
ultimately decide for herself.
Right, who's she going to be? Who is she? Mm-hmm. You know, and she's a Jedi, and she's a Skywalker in spirit, right? In,
mm-hmm.
in her, yeah.
Yeah, and that's another thing that, like, either people really like that idea, or it really ticks people off. For me, this was a very special moment, because for those of you who don't know, I am adopted, so I do have another name in blood, but ultimately, I have my adoptive parents' last name.
Right.
So again, I feel, and like both of them had made a tremendous impact on my life, and ultimately, I am still Justin. Like, I could have any other last name that I want, but you're still you, and you can't, and like nothing can take that away.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like that Rey embraces a bit of that. So,
mm-hmm. And I think that's what they did effectively was, even though we didn't get the Palpatine dilemma until the last movie,
mm-hmm.
it still was effective. I felt like there was an effective, you know, I mean, I think that the way that they developed that, like, you know, when she accidentally force lightnings the ship,
mm-hmm.
And then she, you know, has that, you know, these experiences that make her realize, like, oh, like, I got Palpatine blood and tendencies, you know,
mm-hmm.
Reminded me very much of Harry Potter and that storyline of, like, you know, there's a little piece of Voldemort in Harry, and he
mm-hmm.
has to make a choice that he's not, that doesn't determine who he is. And I like that storyline, and either way, whether they would have continued her as a nobody
mm-hmm.
or as someone with, you know, an identity crisis as it relates to their parentage and last name, either way, I like Rey.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a fan of Rey. I'm cheering on her for her, and I'm sympathetic to her as a person, as a character, regardless. And I thought that the ending, you know, was point, it was very satisfying, you know, that being at the homestead, seeing Luke and Leia calling herself a Skywalker. Some people really didn't like it. I thought it was fine. I really got the impression that she was going to move in there. Some people didn't think that was the thing. I felt like she was going to move in. I thought she was like scoping it out, like, yeah, I could live here.
She even did the slide thing out.
Yeah.
Like, oh,
Yeah, I
okay.
could get this sand out of here and
Yeah.
make this a place to live. What more? I mean, like, I realize that this is the end of the saga, so I don't know if they're going to revisit this storyline in any other formats, but I love the idea of her kind of starting over on Tatooine, wherever that would go.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool.
I think that's fine, you know, but I guess the moral of the story for me would be like what you were saying, you know, it's like in the end, it's like you are who you are. You know, she's made choices that made her more a Skywalker than a Palpatine, and that's who she is, which was, I think, was good.
So to end this off, we're gonna give like a little rating towards the film. I personally, I would give this film a 7 out of 10. It does have its issues, but overall, it didn't dampen the experience, too much dampen the experience for me. I still had fun with it, and again, if fun is the biggest check mark in Star Wars, it made it. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. 7 out of 10. What about you, Aaron?
You know, it's a tough one. I think that if I try to go back to like, okay, how did I feel when I walked out of the movie the first time I saw it, my gut reaction? And based on that, I would go as high as an 8, 8.5. Like, I had a really good time. There's a coworker of mine who put it really, really well for, like, kind of crystallized for me what I felt. And I said, what'd you think of the movie? He said, had a big dumb smile on my face the whole time, but there were some things I would have done differently. And I would say that that's exactly how I felt. Like, I had fun during that movie. I did not have a bad time watching it, but there were moments where I was like, yeah, I would have done that differently. But in the end, I felt much more like, you know, for certain, I would say that in terms of the sequel trilogy, I would say it's Force Awakens, Rise of Skywalker, Last Jedi. I thought Force Awakens was, I loved it. I don't really have not any real complaints about it. And I think Rise of Skywalker was not as good as Force Awakens in my mind. I would put it like, you know, right down there below that at, you know, 8 out of 10. Just because I just remember walking out of the movie feeling like I saw a fun Star Wars movie that I could, you know, my gauge for that is usually, because I always see these movies with all my kids, is how did we all collectively feel after? And for the most part, the energy afterwards, that, you know, in breaking it down and talking, and the energy that you can't really, you know, it's just like it's there, it's either there or it's not, and it was there, like. And it was exciting, and we were excited, and it was like, oh my gosh, you know, ta ta ta. So 8 out of 10, maybe 8.5 if I'm feeling generous and nostalgic, and the part of me as a Star Wars fan that can excuse obvious flaws in the way things are done would give it an 8.5 probably. Yeah.
All righty. All right. Yeah, it was fun talking about this movie, and next time we'll be back here, and we'll kind of be looking at a thing that's kind of a little scary, but a little bit exciting as well, is the future of Star Wars. Basically, with the end of the Skywalker saga being done, now what?
There's a lot to talk about there already.
So that will be for next time. And thanks for listening. And if you like what you're hearing, please subscribe to our channels. Please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And we also have an Instagram page where we occasionally put up photos. So and plus, we also really like feedback. There are other things that you want to see, things that you want us to talk about. We're all ears. So, and we seriously have a fun time doing this.
100%.
All righty. Well, until then, we will see you all next time. Take
May the
care.
force be with you.
great shot, kid. That was one in a million.